I have a few verses of scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart that I'd like to expound upon for a few minutes, taken from the 22nd chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, the last couple of statements that are made not only by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also the last couple of statements made by John the Revelator, who had received this revelation by the Lord's angel. I begin reading in verse 16 of this 22nd chapter of Revelation, and it says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." When you look into the original language of these last two phrases that I read in your hearing, John the Apostle, John the Revelator, uses the exact same phrase that Jesus used. Actually, here in the King James, the "even so" kind of blurs that a little bit, actually mars some of the beauty that's in the original text. One scholar pointed out that John was, and I quote, denoting a desire that the Lord Jesus would come in any and every manner. That he would come to impart to us the tokens of his presence. That he would come to bless his truth and receive his work in the churches. That he would come to convert sinners and to build up his people in holiness. That he would come to sustain us in affliction and to defend us in temptation. That he would come to put a period to idolatry, superstition, and error, and to extend the knowledge of his truth in the world, to rule in the hearts of his people. That he would come to receive us to his presence, and to gather his redeemed people into his everlasting kingdom. Jesus said, "I come quickly." His previous attitude was that anybody messes with my book, if they add anything to it, I'm going to add to them the plagues that are in the book. If they take away anything from it, I'm going to take away any opportunity for them to be saved. I'm going to take away any opportunity for their names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he says, "I come quickly." Almost, well, I feel like that the attitude was an attitude of judgment, an attitude of retribution. You know, it was like, "I'm coming to get you." Kind of attitude, kind of spirit. And John responds to that in a very different spirit, in a very different attitude. He says, "Come. Come. Come, Lord Jesus." I guess one of the best ways to describe that kind of the difference, I was thinking about back in the day, you know, when I was a young teenager and, you know, I misbehaved, my dad would, I mean, parents used to back in the day, if you misbehaved while the preacher was preaching, they'd come get you. You know? And I remember my dad, all he would do was just look at me. He'd see me talking while the preacher was preaching. And he would get up and he'd come get me. Oh, man, I never forget how I felt when he was coming. Because he was either going to take me out or take me to the front. You guys remember that day? Oh, come on. He was coming to execute judgment. But there are other times that my dad would come to me. I remember when I was lost and in my sins, and the invitation to come to Jesus was given by the preacher, and the Holy Spirit was working with the congregation. And I remember my dad stepping out and coming to talk to me about my soul. Same place, but two very different circumstances. And it seems like that in these phrases, in these statements, the phrase and statement of Jesus, I come quickly, versus John saying, come. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, as I examine these two phrases, come, Lord Jesus, I realize that I could talk about five different aspects. Easily, I could talk about five different aspects of Christ's coming. I could talk about his first advent. Many times I have referenced this passage of Scripture and I have spoken on his second advent. The Lord's coming back. He's coming back with power and great glory. But I concur with some of the scholars that look at the phrase and the attitude. I mean, John was on the island of Patmos. He was being persecuted. He had been exiled there. And the coming of the Lord to John the Revelator meant deliverance. I believe the Lord has to show up in order for you to be delivered. I sure do. And so I'm going to talk about several things. I want to talk about, and I don't have a lot of time, but I would love to speak to you not only about how the Lord comes and visits us when we're lost and in our sins, but how that the Lord comes and visits us in various circumstances of our Christian life. I really would like to get to that point of how I believe the Lord's going to come and be with me as I go through the valley of the shadow of death. I may have to talk about that or preach about that tonight. I encourage you to come back at 6 o'clock. But let me start by saying how important it is for the Lord to come and rescue you from sin. It starts with our need of the Lord when we are lost. Unbelievers need a visitation from the Lord. Had a man knock on my door yesterday afternoon, and I had been 7 hours in the Word of God. I didn't look like I'd been 7 hours in the Word of God. I had blue jeans on and a t-shirt, and probably some Crocs that were worn out. And he knocked on my door, and I didn't want my dog to get out, so I stepped out on the porch, and he wanted to invite me to his church. And, you know, I've done some of my best preaching on my front porch. wish y'all all could have been there. And I said, well, what do you teach about people being saved? And he began he said, well, you know, we tell people to ask Jesus into their heart. I said, okay. I said, how do I know that he's there? If I ask him into my heart, how do I know that he's there? He said, well, you just go to the Word of God, and the Word of God will tell you that Jesus is in your heart. I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who created the universe, that when he comes into my heart, I got to check the registry? That I wouldn't know it? That I wouldn't experience anything? There wouldn't be any kind of change or alteration? Are you telling me that when the Lord Jesus comes into my heart, there's no change? Is that what you're telling me? That I have to go out and look at the marquee and see if there's vacancy or no vacancy? He said, well, let me just say this, all right? I'm not going to get into our complete conversation, but I'll share this much with you. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a clue about the context of the 10th chapter of Romans. Amen. You know, he said, well, what's this? Look what it says in Romans chapter 10, that if we believe with our heart the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with our mouth. And I said, wait a minute. Don't you guys realize that the Jews were claiming to be the children of God because it was written in the Word? And that Paul in chapters 9, and I've taught this, chapters 9, 10, 11, was counteracting that. How dare you use the Word of God contrary to its context? Paul was not talking about, in that particular passage, Jews, and he was talking about Jews and Gentiles. He was talking about anybody and everybody can be saved, that the Gentiles can be saved, that anybody can call on the Lord, and it doesn't have to be written in the Word. I'll tell you something, when you get saved, you'll know it. It's like I told that man, I said, what about Nicodemus? The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell us whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everybody that's born of the Spirit. Where is that experience in your evangelism? Where is that experience in your preaching? Where is that experience in your church membership? Listen, if you've never had an experience of the new birth, if you've never been born from above, you need to be. No, you don't just need to be, you have to be. You know, this man told me, he said, well, that's your experience, but he said, not everybody has that. I said, whoa, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said everybody has to have that. Everybody has to have that. I mean, how do you know Jesus is in your heart? I'll tell you how you know Jesus is in your heart. Because the Bible teaches that when a man truly repents, when a man truly believes, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how you know. There's a spiritual testimony. There's a spiritual witness. You know, this, it's, I don't get it. I really don't get it. How somebody can say, well, you hop on your left leg and you get saved. And if that don't work, you hop on your right leg. Listen, there's no hopping about it. There's one way of salvation. It's through the blood of Jesus. It's by repentance and faith and through the grace of God. Amen. That's the only way. Amen. Only way you get saved. I still contend that sinners need a visit from the Lord Jesus Christ. Unsaved, they need the help of Christ. Listen, you need more than a Bible. You need more than preaching. You need more than singing. You need more than church membership. You need the Lord Jesus Christ showing up, helping you come to know your forgiveness. Yeah, I'm going to use a text in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 to kind of substantiate that. Before I do, sinners are in darkness. They're blind. They're blind. They're blind. And I'll tell you, not blind people need their eyes opened. And they need to cry out like the blind in the days of Jesus. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I might see. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. I want to encourage you to call on the Lord. I want to encourage you to say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, come to me. Come help me. Show me my lostness. Show me my spiritual doom that I might come to your righteousness. Show me. Help me. Listen, if you don't have a desire for the Lord Jesus to come and help you find him, you'll never know him. You need a visitation from the Lord. You can't deliver yourself. You need the Christ who can and does deliver. Yes, you need somebody to free you. You're in bondage. You can't free yourself. You're enslaved. You're in captive. You need the one who came to set the captive free. You need Jesus. You're in guilt and condemnation. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Set free by Jesus. Listen, I believe that lost people, when they're condemned by the preaching of the gospel, when they're lost, they must come to Jesus. They must come to Jesus. Must come to Jesus. You don't pass gold. You don't collect $200. You go direct to Jesus. Straight to the cross. Straight to the cross. Sinners cannot deliver themselves. They have to call upon the Lord to come and remove their sins. Is Jesus here? Does Jesus Christ have access to you through the Holy Ghost? I believe lost sinners seek the Lord and revival comes. I believe lost sinners seek the Lord and the Lord comes to them. He speaks truth to them. They must, first of all, though, long for Christ. I think we have it backwards here in our society today. People long for safety. They just want to go to heaven. That's not good enough. You need to long for Christ. Long to be like Him. Long for His righteousness. Long for His holiness. Long to be with Him. Long for His presence. Long to hear from Him. You need to hear from the Lord. You need to hear the truth that was spoken from His lips. I believe it's only His doctrine, only His doctrine that can comfort, that can bring joy, consolation, hope. I believe it's the power of His gospel that saves souls. It's not about what I think about it. It's not what you think about it. It's what the Lord Jesus has said about it. His truth, His grace. Listen, the Bible says in John chapter 1 that He is grace and truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Of His words came forth truth. And even the Hebrew writer said in the first chapter about how that His Son, the only begotten of the Father's Son, came to speak truth to us. Listen, we need to hear the truth that Jesus has spoken to us. His truth sets us free. You need to make sure that you're under the sound of the gospel that came through the cross. You need to make sure that you're under the sound of the gospel that came through the teaching of Jesus Christ. Listen, the teaching of men will deceive you and send you to hell, but the teaching of Jesus will save you and send you to heaven. Amen? Amen? Yes. He says in this passage, notice in Peter was preaching, he says in verse 19, repent. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing comes. How does it come? It comes from the presence of the Lord and He shall send Jesus. I tell you, we need the presence of the Lord in order for our sins to be blotted out. We need the presence of the Lord in order for our sins to be canceled. We need the presence of the Lord in order for people to be converted. Do you realize that thousands of people are claiming conversion, forgiveness, and their sins blotted out without the presence of the Lord? Listen, you need the Lord to show up in your conversion. You need Jesus there. Yeah, yeah. I believe it's at His feet we come to know the truth. We come to know the fullness of grace. Hey, it's His truth that sets us free. I pray today, Lord Jesus would come and open your heart, open your mind. I pray the Lord Jesus would come down in our service and we'd have revival and cancel your sin debt. I pray that the Lord Jesus would come and help you to see whatever obstacles or barriers are things that are standing between you and eternal life. Listen, I believe that only the Lord Jesus can show you your own heart and save you from your sins. We need Jesus. You need Jesus, lost friend, to set you free. And you need to cry out, come, Lord Jesus. Come, set me free. Come, deliver me. Just like every lame man, every blind man, every person who had any kind of disease, they cried out from the sides of the road. They cried out him walking down the street. They cried out, heal us, help us, cleanse us. And I tell you, you need to cry out to him today. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, and his arm is not short that he cannot save. Praise God. He can hear your cry, and he can save and deliver your soul. I still contend there's only one mediator, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. There is only one mediator between man and God, and it is the man Christ Jesus. Amen. You realize what that's saying? You must go straightly through Christ. You got to go through Christ. You can't go through your Bible. You can't go through the preacher. You can't go through the church. You've got to go directly to Christ. Now, that's how it was when I got saved. I came to the cross. I said, nothing to the cross I bring, but to the cross I cling. I came to Jesus. I looked on him whom I pierced, and I trusted in him with all of my heart. And when I got a hold of Jesus, I got a hold of God. And I was saved. One mediator. One way. You have to go directly to him. The Hebrew writer put it this way in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. We have a great high priest. You guys understand the concept of high priest? The only way to get in the Holy of Holies, which is a prefigure of heaven, is through the high priest. Amen. Are you with me? No other way but through the high priest. You can't go you can't go through the court of the Gentiles. You can't go by way of just the burnt offering. You can't just go by the altar of incense. You've got to go through the high priest. You got to come through the high priest. And we have a high priest. And his name is Jesus. Hebrew writer said, for Christ, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, becoming our high priest. He is our high priest. You know, Jesus on one occasion told the leopards, go show thyself to the priest. That's what I'm preaching today. Go show yourself unto the priest. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Pass by. You remember the day he passed by while you were lost and in your sins, while you were sitting in your seat? Maybe you went to church and you weren't expecting anything to happen. Maybe you went to church and you just thought it was just going to be some lame sermon with some lame singing. Suddenly the Lord passed by. Do you remember that day? I tell you, we need Jesus in our services. The great high priest, the only one that can atone for your sin. He's the only one that shed his precious blood. He's the only one that can sprinkle the mercy seat for you. He is the only one that has opened the way of access into heaven for you. You must come directly to Jesus Christ, and he must come directly to you. I still contend that sinners need to touch the hem of his garment. I sure do. That lady with the issue of blood, she touched the hem of his garment and virtue came out of him. Right? She was cleansed of her ailment. You need virtue to come out of Christ and change you, alter you, save you. Christ came to perform a change in us. And while we're under conviction, we learn to cry out, come, Lord Jesus. And you know, I guess that's the first time we really learn the possibilities and the potentialities of Christ coming and helping and delivering us. And we continue to learn that. Time's getting away from me. As we live our Christian life, let me close in saying, with respect to those of you that are lost, you need Christ to come into your life just like he went into the temple and he ran out the money changers. When Christ comes in, you're changed. You're altered. Your life will be ultimately rearranged. Christ in us, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, is our hope of glory. Christ in us. And it's a glorious embryo of our future inheritance. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. You need to pray that prayer. If you've never prayed it, You need to find you an altar somewhere and say, Lord, come, come, come. Show me what it is that I need to repent of. Show me what's between us. Show me how my heart can be fixed. Come, come into my life. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, alter me and change me. Help me. I believe Christ will come and help you repent. He will come, help you believe. Repentance and faith are inseparable graces. Amen? Yes. He'll help you. But you need to cry out for his help. Come help me, Lord. And he'll help you. He'll help you. If you'll cry out to him, come. Oh, come, Lord. I tell you, he's coming in judgment. You better be ready. But you know, I also like what it says in John 14 and 23, where Christ promised, where he promised that he and the Father would come to us. He would come to us. He promised that he would send his Spirit. He actually, when he talked about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, in the 14th chapter of John, he says, I'm going to come. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to come to you. He came to us. The Holy Spirit is Christ. Christ is the Holy Spirit. Listen, Christ and the Father are one. There is a unison, a oneness within the Godhead. When you have Jesus there, you've got just as much of the Father there as you've got Jesus. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have just as much of the Father and the Son as the Holy, as the Holy Spirit is. Listen, when one is there, they're all there. Got a little confused, but the point is this. We need Christ in every circumstance of our Christian life. He's the Alpha and the Omega of not only the revelation that we're saved, but also in every Christian experience we have in life. We live by Christ. We live for Christ. We live to Christ. I believe our strength to live the Christian life comes through Christ. He is our all in all. We love Christ and we long for that full enjoyment of his presence in heaven. Do you long to be with Jesus in heaven? Yeah. We do believe that Christ is going to come in judgment and retribution, but we've also experienced him coming to help us, to deliver us, to strengthen us, to visit us and give us virtue and holiness and power that we need. The Holy Spirit comes to us with much mercy and much grace. Do you believe the Lord can come and sup with you? Huh? Didn't he promise that? Yeah, that he would come and sup with us, visit with us, be with us and in us. Have you experienced that lately? I believe, first of all, when we realize we want to be like Christ and we cry out, come, I want to be like you, Lord. I want to be conformed to your image like we read about in John, in Romans chapter 8. I believe it's verse 29, where he tells us about being made into the image of his dear son. How we need to be made in the image of his dear son. He is the potter. We are the clay. We want the Lord to make us into vessels of honor. God hath predestined. He foreknew that we would be conformed to the image of his dear son. We need to bear the image of Christ. I tell you why the world's not having revival is because God's people don't look anything like Jesus. That's the truth. They don't look anything like Jesus. Christ in you? No, you'll be noted for that old car you bought. You'll be noted for the house you lived in. You'll be noted for your occupation. You'll be noted for how many kids you had. You'll be noted how you dressed. You'll be noted for maybe being a Sunday school teacher, but you won't be noted for people seeing Christ in you. Not really. Come on now. You know why? Because you've got to live for Christ and live like Christ in order for them to see Christ in you. Amen? Amen. Now let's not just deceive ourselves. Let's not deceive ourselves. We are to bear, we've been called upon to bear the image of the heavenly. We've been called to bear the image of the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. I believe in regeneration, that image is formed in us. And through sanctification, we can be carried on and completed in us. And ultimately, Christ, will help us, enable us to be just like Him in the resurrection. But we are to look like Him as we live our Christian life. You know what? Christ is the only one that can affect this. I mean, the genuine presence of Christ. Isn't He the author and the finisher of our faith? Huh? Isn't He our head? Aren't we to be living for Him? Aren't we to be growing in our Christian life? I believe believers that really want to be like Christ, they too will cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, help me. Come, help me. Help me live alive. Help me live alive that honors You." They too will cry, "Come," because unless the Lord comes help and helps you, you'll never get it done. Another group that cries out for the coming of the Lord in their Christian walk is when they really want to live for Christ. When they want to be filled with His grace and His truth and His power. When they want that meekness in their heart. When they want to be like Christ. When they want to live like Him. I mean, Christ was humble. He was meek. He was tender. He was gentle. He was divine. Also, I think when they'll cry out to Christ, but also those that really want to serve Christ. Somebody who really wants to serve Christ. Listen, you're not fooling anybody. Somebody who really has an enlarged heart and a genuine desire to serve Christ, you can tell it. Amen? And when somebody has that, they really cry out, "Lord, help me. Come, I want to live for You. I want to live for You." There'll be a singleness of heart. The Lord will enable them to do His will. There'll be a power exhibited. There'll be a holy sway about them. There'll be the words that they speak will be words of blessing. There'll be a love for duty. They'll run for joy at the commandments of the Lord. Let me mention another thing. When we come together to worship, I'm going to close with this one. I have more. You know, when I go to church, I want to feel like that I've just stood next to the burning bush. You know, I mean, it's burning with fire, but it's not consumed. And I want to feel like that I've been to a place where that I almost feel like taking off my shoes, you know, because I've been on holy ground. I mean, the very presence of God, the thing that Moses experienced. That's what I want to experience when I go to church. Jesus said in the 18th chapter of Matthew, He said, "If two or three gather together in My name, I will be in the midst. I will show up." Listen, I want to sense the presence of Christ when I go to church and I worship. Oh, somebody says, "Oh, the singing was good. The preaching was good. Had some good praying. Attendance was good." Was Christ there? Listen, I don't know about you. I can put up with bad singing and bad preaching as long as Jesus shows up. Yeah, yeah. I want to be in that worship mode. I want to be in the presence of that burning bush, kind of like Moses, to where I work up the courage like he did, to where I say, "Lord, show me Your glory." Show me Your glory, Lord. And the glory of the Lord comes down. Amen. Yeah, I want to go to church and I want to sense the holy presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what typically happens when I sense the presence of the Lord? I mean, it's almost automatically. You know, I start, my knees start buckling. I mean, it's like, "Oh Lord, Lord Jesus, I just want to bow down and worship." There'll be a reverence. I'll tell you why people don't reverence the house of God. I'll tell you why people don't reverence the worship and the church of the true living God. Because the Lord's not there in many of them, and there's no reverence of the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you, when the Lord shows up, you know, Your knees will buckle. You'll fall down before him and you'll worship because the Lord is there. The Lord is there. This is holy ground. Listen, the church has always depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ showing up and being presence. His presence is what makes church. Makes church. Well, I'm going to stop there. I tell you what, that's the reason the church has been shaken but not shattered. Bruised but not bent. I'll tell you why the church has endured through the years, because Christ has been with her. I am with you. And maybe tonight I can get to him being with us in various circumstances of our lives. We need him with us. And we can cry out, come Lord, help us in this circumstance. I mean, businessmen on the verge of bankruptcy, homes on the verge of collapsing, you know, things happening all around us. And you know what you need to do? when a crisis comes into your life, come Lord. Do you realize that all he has to do is show up and there's peace? You know why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. when he's present with us, we're consoled and we're comforted. All I need to see is his rod and his staff and I'm comforted. Amen. All you need to do is see Jesus in the circumstance. And he will get you through. And I have many monumental Ebenezers that I've set up in my Christian life where the Lord just showed up and I was delivered from that circumstance. And let me say this in closing. Whatever circumstance you have, let us get a song and sing. Whatever circumstance you have in your life, you know what you need to do? You don't need to call somebody and send an email and put it on Facebook and they say, well, go, and so you go, and they say, call, and so you call, and so they say, flee, and so you win, and they say, we can't help you. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go to the rock. You need to go. I know most of you went on that journey. You need to say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, there are things that go on in your life that nothing but Christ will do. Amen. Only he can deliver. Only he can comfort. Only he can provide peace and consolation. Go, go to Jesus Christ. When you're on rocky ground, go to the rock of your salvation. You want some rock solid advice? Go to the rock of your salvation. You want true deliverance? Go to Jesus. Just say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's amazing what people do in times of trouble. They go every direction and every way, but to the right way. When you need guidance, he's the good shepherd. When you need direction, he's the bright and the morning star. When you need healing, he is the great physician. Listen, come to the one who is Alpha and Omega, the amazing Almighty, Jesus Christ, who which was and is and forevermore. Come to Jesus as we stand and sing.